Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Mexico, our strong trading partner and critical to the success of not only the Americas, but North America, Mexico and the People's Republic of China. Right now, the news about China is not positive. The economy is stuttering to showing signs that it does not have a way out of what looks to be a deep recession with high unemployment and deflation. At the same time, China has been involved in Mexico for all of this century, if not before. And I welcome a new paper by Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College entitled Mexico's Engagement with China and Choices for Its Future, published at Dialogo Americas. Professor, I begin with the revelation that Mexico in 1972 recognized the People's Republic of China. That's a long trail, reaching back to the time of the Nixon administration and the mission to Beijing by the president and his national security advisor and later Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger. So that recognition is a golden shovel for Mexico to dig deep into this relationship. You bring me up to date in your paper, 2003, Mexico named the People's Republic of China as a strategic partner. It was accelerated to integral strategic partnership. I believe that happened in 2013. What do these terms mean for Mexico? What does that tell China? And are these terms still applicable today? Thank you.
Thank you, John. Well, as you pointed out, Mexico has always had an ambiguous relationship with the People's Republic of China, ironically, somewhat like it's always had an ambiguous relationship with its partner to the immediate north, the United States. So Mexico, as you rightfully recognize that the PRC in that first era of recognition when the U.S. reapproachment via Henry Kissinger and Nixon indicated to countries around the world that the U.S. Did not see that as a problem. But that was also the era in Mexico of a relatively leftist Mexican president, Luis Echevarria, who was leading a Mexican foreign policy of independence. He had reached out to the Cubans. He had permitted negotiations in Mexico with the FARC, the FMLN rebels, then trying to take over El Salvador and other things. And so it was a time of leftist openings in Mexico. And over the years, when it was still okay, China actually recognized Mexico as a strategic partner. When China knew relatively little about Latin America because of limited historical engagement, it had reached out to say, well, Mexico appears to be a large, diverse, relatively developed partner, and it continued that path. However, over the years, Mexico found itself tied up between seeing China as a partner and as a Mexico became more integrated with its relationship with the United States, especially economically, after it joined the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, in 1994, and of course, eventually upgraded that with USMCA later during the Trump administration. Mexico's basically bonds to the U.S. market, which also were complemented by security bonds to the U.S., so that the strong working together against cartels that we had under the Calderon administration beginning 2006, under his successor, Enrique Peña Nieto, et cetera. Those ties to Mexico in some ways conflicted with the Mexico, as Mexico looked at China, not wanting to be, have too much to do in terms of security ties, but B, also its Mexico's ties with the U.S. market and seeing Chinese manufacturers and services actually as a competitor to Mexico's own manufacturers and services made Mexico a little bit reluctant. There was also a continuous sense within Mexico that with suspicion towards the Chinese by Mexican organized labor and manufacturing, which led to pushback against some major Chinese initiatives like a big wholesale complex called Dragon Mart. Mexico's ability to repeatedly shoot itself in the foot over contracting with the Chinese on infrastructure projects. There was a train between Mexico City and Querétaro that was canceled in 2014 because of concerns over appearances and corruption. There was one occasion in which the Mexican government then of Felipe Calderón had invited Tibet's Dalai Lama for a state visit, and China pushed back very hard. And so there's always been a sense of equivocation within Mexico, an interest in China, and yet a sense of China as a competitor. A sense of it's Mexico's relationship with the United States limits its ability to work with China, and yet at the same time Mexico's difficulties with the United States wanting to make it look towards China as an alternative, as well as in some cases an economic alternative. So it's long been a complex relationship for the Mexicans with China.
Couple of numbers begin to tell the story, although we look inside afterwards. Mexico's relationship in trade, exports to the PRC, 2002, $654 million. 2022, during the pandemic, $10.9 billion. That's growth, but nothing like the growth of imports from China, $6.6 billion in 2001. In 2022, during the pandemic, $125.8 billion. So clearly, with that ambivalence you identify, trade has been flowing, but the sectors are all important here. I note one motive is for Mexico to provide an entree into what was NAFTA and is now the USMCA in manufacturing, in trade goods, in exports. Is that happening, Professor? Does China use the back door of Mexico to trade in the U.S.?
You make a couple really good points, John. So first of all, the dilemma for Mexico has always been that most of its exports, especially food exports, make a lot more sense to go to the close U.S. market, which is hours or just days away, as opposed to sending them halfway around the world to China. This includes things like its oil exports as well. And so Mexico's ability to sell to China has always been limited. On the other hand, Mexico is a developed economy and one who has a manufacturing supply chains that wants to import certain manufactured goods in terms of consumer goods, has long found it an incentive to import from China. And so what's happened over the years is that Mexico's imports from China have always run about 10 or 12 times the size of their exports to China, which again is increased that sense of China as a competitor. At the same time, also China recognizes that China's own access to the North American market in part runs through Mexico. And so going back to the early 2000s, Chinese auto parts companies have invested in places like Veracruz, other mid-level manufacturing. China's got involved in Mexico's ports. China's got involved in Mexico's telecom sector. There's been a total of about 150 different projects that are tracked by a prominent Mexican institute. About $21 billion of Chinese investment have gone into Mexico since 2001, when it was first admitted into the World Trade Organization. But the irony today is that oftentimes when we in the U.S. talk about decoupling and how Mexico will benefit from what's called nearshoring, companies moving out of China and investing in closer in places like Mexico. Well, right now, Chinese companies are actually moving into Mexico to benefit from nearshoring as well. They don't want to lose access to the U.S. market by being labeled as a Chinese company far away. And so what you actually find is there's been a big boom in places like Nuevo León in the north of Mexico, with Chinese companies trying to, in the context of decoupling, locate themselves, in Mexico to serve that market. Even in the booming car and electric vehicle sector, for example, when the big U.S. EV company Tesla has located an enormous new plant in Mexico. Tesla is trying to bring its Chinese suppliers to Mexico. Matter of fact, by one estimate, something like 40% of all of the new investments that have coming into Mexico, nearshoring manufacturing operations, it's estimated that 40% of all those nearshoring investments in the past year may have been by Chinese companies. And so ironically, nearshoring is not taking us away from China. Nearshoring is bringing the Chinese closer through Mexico.
Extraction services. I want to turn to those because oil and gas and lithium, but all mining, are big pieces of the Mexican economy that is reluctant to welcome in China. So when we come back, Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, writing most recently about China in Mexico, China, the troubled state, the hostile troubled state of the People's Republic of China, finding Mexico both welcoming and restricting for capitalism. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.